This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run with me, Shazana Mokhtar, and Kusu Chuang. We first take a look at how global markets ended trading yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
The Dow 1%, S&P 0.8%, Nasdaq 1%, Nikkei 0.5%, Hang Seng 3%, Shanghai closed. Singapore Straits Times 0.6, FBM KLCI 0.1. No reds, all greens.
That's quite a refreshing change from the previous days.
Yeah.
And we have Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago, on the line to talk to us about what exactly is moving markets in this green zone. Hi, Tim. Good morning. So equities are struggling to find some traction against market headwinds, trading in a volatile range. Markets have been jittery, but what do you think are the risks that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think one of the risks, you know, inflation, obviously, there's more coming along to the view that it's not transitory and it's a little more structural. And, you know, on top of that, there are some that think that we're probably seeing some winds of stagflation, which would be the worst. I mean, equities, let's face it, their earnings, you know, nominal earnings, so it really would be an inflation hedge. But if you have slowdown, economic slowdown and so forth, then you have inflation and slower growth, which is the worst thing for the market. So I think that and the rising bond yields, because of inflation, people are, I think the market's at least, you know, we're pressing towards 1.6% in the 10-year. You know, we're still well off the 1.75% high that we saw back in the spring. But nevertheless, that's pressuring growth stocks. So you're seeing maybe a rotation back into cyclicals. But it also probably brings to light the importance of tomorrow's employment report, because they were looking for a big, you know, strength in those numbers.
Yeah, well, what's your sense of where the numbers are going to come in, Tim? Because we saw, you know, American investors live to buy their dips. And obviously, yesterday was a good day for everybody, including tech, which is always a good sign.
Except, you know, the market's fading a little bit, though. You know, you're seeing these buying the dips, but we're not making new highs. We've actually been making, I think, some lower lows here, and which is noteworthy. But I think they're looking for a 500 handle, maybe even 600 handle in tomorrow's payroll report. I'm of the view right now that I think it would be probably more bullish if you got a stronger number. And I think if you got a weaker number, it might lend some credence to stagflation. I think that would be a real troublesome environment for the equity market. But again, you can't jump to any conclusions yet, but you know, the market is a little nervous, and we see a two-way trade for once. We're seeing, you know, big sell-offs, big rallies. I mean, this volatility is really something, you know, good trader's market, actually.
And speaking of buying on the dip, Tim, companies from China listed in the U.S. like Alibaba and JD.com have seen their share plunge nearly 40% year to date, but they did jump last night. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Is it a dead cat bounce? Is it time to buy? How should we be looking at this?
You know, I'm really shying from these ADRs, especially in the NYSE, because it doesn't look as though the SEC audit requirements are going to be met. And, you know, these are variable interest entities or VIE structures as well, can be easily negated, I believe. I think there's a little bit of risk there. There's been some commentary. So having said that, I still like the China market. I like the China tech market. However, I think I'd like to play it through the H shares or the A shares, if you can. So that would necessitate either buying in Hong Kong or through the Connect, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Shenzhen Connect, or through a fund manager that really can operate in the A-share market in China. So I like China, but I don't like in the foreign listed.
Any stocks or any sub-verticals in particular, Tim, on the China shares front?
You know, I was looking at the A-share, you know, which is a CSI 300, and it's a broad index. But, you know, Baba is one of those stocks, and Tencent, and, you know, that you just, I think I stay away from the property developers, but... you know, but I do think that the China tech is for real. I think the other one I love a lot is Ping An, which is a really great company. And, you know, I think that, you know, again, we're going to see how this real estate sector falls out, because that's a fairly serious issue as well. I think and hope that they may contain it, but there could be a little contagion within China, not so much the rest of the world, but more within China if this were to get out of hand. So I think you sit tight, but I do like to nip. China's too big to ignore. So people that say, I don't want China, it's too big to ignore the GDP and the growth rate that we're looking at and the potential that it has. You can't ignore it.
So keeping to this theme of volatility, we take a look at the S&P 500 energy. It's the best performing sector on the index, but also the most volatile. So how do you assess the risk-return trade-off from investing in this sectoral space?
Well, you know, you really have to be, you know, buy this thing at the, you know, right. In other words, when nobody wants it, it's when you have to buy it. So I know, you know, let's take Chevron, for example, was up near, what, 110, 115, trades down to the low 90s, you know, but they pay a good dividend and they're buying shares back. And they're also tethered to higher energy prices now, because there hasn't been a lot of E&P given this, you know, some of the regulations since President Biden came in, and also this push towards green. We still need these fossil fuels. And I think you're seeing less production. So I think the one thing you're going to see are higher prices. I think that's probably driving it. But I think these companies are giving back money. You know, they're paying a good dividend. I think they're going to be, I think they're okay. I think it's a good sector and also a good reflation play.
Yeah, just on the subject of oil as well, Tim, I think you talked about how oil is trending where it is. What's your sense of where it's going to go in the next 6 months, given the fact that yesterday we saw the U.S. government talking about tapping into the strategic petroleum reserve?
Well, you know, that could give it a little bit of a, you know, hold back, a little cap on the market. But, you know, we're, 80 in West Texas, above 80 in the Brent we traded above this week. You know, and I think we're going to push higher steadily. The trend is still higher. So I think you could may see a pullback, you know, again in the 70. But I think what's really important also watch is the spread between West Texas and Brent, which I think is starting to widen again. And that's the other one, especially for refiners, that you want to watch that.
Yeah, just as also as a bit of an aside, because Bitcoin is doing really well, nearly $55,000 per Bitcoin levels. JP Morgan's come out with a report saying that institutional investors are looking more towards Bitcoin as a safe haven rather than gold. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think Ether and Bitcoin are certainly seeing a lot of institutional investment allocation. I'm not really, I mean, I like the blockchain. I like what it is. I can't really tell you I'm an expert in that field as much as I try to. Maybe I'm too old for this. I don't know. But I do think that, you know, you're seeing the institutional involvement because I don't believe it's a joke. Some of the cryptos are a joke. But I think, you know, blockchain and Ether are actually very legitimate and pretty real. And, you know, again, governments say they may, like China says they're going to outlaw. But that's the one beauty of the Bitcoin and these cryptos is that it's very difficult to do that as a government entity. And I think that's something to watch. But nevertheless, yeah, I do. But the price is awfully darn high. So I think you got to buy that right as well.
Okay, Tim, one more question before we let you go. The U.S. payroll report comes out later today. What are your expectations? Is it going to be a strong figure that means tapering is sooner rather than later? Or will the number disappoint as it has in the past few weeks?
I think that the number will be stronger, and that's basically for no other reason other than the fact that it was so weak last month. So I think you're going to see a snapback even with revisions. I think you should see a pretty decent number. But, you know, let's look at the Fed tapering. If you get this inflation thing really moving and it is more structural, I don't think it's going to be a choice from the Fed what they have to do, and none of their alternatives are going to be good ones. So that's what we really want to watch. And watch the average hourly earnings as well, because wage inflation, it's not like when you raise wages, you're going to be able to cut them anytime soon. So, I mean, there's a lot of structural issues, I think, with inflation. But again, I'm almost leaning towards if it's a good report, that's going to be bullish for the market. If it's a bad report, I think the winds of stagflation, you're going to start hearing more stagflation talk. That, I think, would be more detrimental to equities.
All right, Tim. Thanks, as always, for the chat. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, chatting to us out of Chicago, giving us the lay of the land in terms of what's moving global markets and his expectations for the jobs report that'll come out at U.S. time tomorrow.
Yeah, average hourly earnings. I saw how companies like Amazon, which is, well, in the middle of the pandemic, they were hiring like it was going out of fashion. And of course, Walmart as well. I think somewhere in the region of $18 to $19 per hour, which is actually quite a lot when you think about it.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.